In the canine unit, Nash, the 70-pound dog, has been helping crack drug cases for years now. Nash's partner, John Thompson.
A lot of bad guys were put in jail, and it's been a good team. I got four dogs at home, including him. They all get along, and if you believe it or not, he is not the boss of the house. Trained police dog. He gets run around by a chihuahua.
Nash's last day is next Friday. Napa in the North Bay, you are up to date. I'm Nate Campbell. That's the news.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started.
HomeAdvisor.
Napa Valley. This is Chef Greg Cole from, well, I used to always say from Philadelphia, Cole's Chop House. That's Bok Bok Choy Choy over there in the corner making all that good noise. And
Kara May on the mic as well.
there's Kara May. So good morning, everybody. 1440 KVON in the Napa Valley. And this is Thursday, and it is the Farmer's Fresh Air Hour, brought to you by our friends at American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. Again, I'm Greg Cole. I'm a board member of the Napa Farmers Market. And my sidekick today is Kara May. Kara May, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, Napa Valley.
And we are going to have, well, if you've been listening to our shows on Thursdays, we do an alternating format where one week is the Napa Farmers Market, and then next Thursday will be the St. Helena Farmers Market. Today's show, we've got some good guests, we think, if they all make it here and everything goes as planned. We've got...
Now, don't jinx it, Greg.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. So today's show, we're going to have one of our growers, Annette Arceo from Arceo Ranch, will be joining us. And Arceo Ranch is a family-owned farm down in Cortland, which is on the Sacramento River, south of Sacramento. Amazing pears, apples, pluots.
Also cherries, when cherries are in season.
Early in the season, her cherries are amazing.
You might remember the fruit more than the name, but we'll remember the name today.
Yeah, and she's one of our loveliest and nicest vendors. There's no doubt about it. So, wonderful lady. She's going to call in about 10 minutes or so. And then also, David Leyland is going to join us today.
Wow, we have just a star-studded agenda.
We do.
We're not even done.
I know. David Leyland is our fearless leader of the Napa Farmers Market. He's the president of our board. But today he's going to be wearing a different hat. He's going to be representing the UC Extension of the Master's Gardeners of the Napa Valley, talking about the Master Gardeners, but also talking a little bit about food saving. We're coming into fall. The kids went back to school just yesterday, many of the kids.
Yes, my Facebook feed was full of kids' posts, so I posted a picture of my cat.
Well, exciting for me is that my kids, we just dropped off our son at UCSB 2 weeks ago, and so I was sitting there watching TV yesterday afternoon, and I was watching kids walk by my house on the way home from school. I thought, I don't have one of those.
Yeah.
So it is. So we're empty. We're officially empty nesters at the Cole House, which is strange and okay. We're gonna be happy with that, I think. But and then so David's gonna be on to talk about the Master Gardeners program, and then finally, Malcolm DeSess. Malcolm is the chef owner of Silverado Cooking School. He is going to be doing a cooking demonstration at our farmer's market this Saturday at 10 o'clock. So every Saturday, you might find me or you might find one of our local guest chefs preparing a dish using market ingredients. And so this coming Saturday, it's going to be Malcolm. I don't know what he's making. He wasn't sure. Chefs are like that.
It's a surprise.
Hope perhaps when we talk to him today, he'll know. It's funny in the world of cooking, you know, a lot of times I'll be working with the chefs and like, I'll say, what are you going to make? And they, well, I don't know, whatever's going to be good. And, you know, in the marketing and PR department at the farmer's market, we like to kind of promote things ahead of time and
That's
know what's
right.
happening. And chefs just aren't like that. So it's, yeah. It's
well,
a struggle.
Folks can get, they're guaranteed a delicious, fresh dish. And if they get there in time, they can even taste a little bit of
right.
it, which is another bonus.
Seat. Yeah. And we've had some great cooking demonstrations. We've had some good chefs. We've had a lot of fun doing that. So that program has really kind of taken off. And
you just did a corn chowder.
I did a grilled corn chowder.
Very, very tasty.
This last Saturday. And we used the delicious bacon from Contimo Provisions, who is one of our purveyors. And then, of course, we have wonderful corn. We have four people who had corn, I think, this last week. So the Patch, GNS, Hamlow, and someone else. So... I don't think it was a big ranch.
Yes.
Big Ranch had corn. So
yes, and I know because corn has been one of our tasting samples that we've done. So that's been great. We shuck and, you know, cut the kernels off so people can taste the samples side by side from all of our farmers.
Yeah. On the first show, on the inaugural show of this program, the Farmers Fresh Hour, I was actually here in the studio and with Tia Butts, who is our normal co-host. And Tia had arranged to have Paul from GNS Farms on, and it was really interesting. I learned something. We're always learning, and so I grew up in a produce family. My dad worked for Sunkist Growers, and I grew up. One of my first jobs was working for a small wholesale produce company. I used to deliver produce to restaurants and schools and hospitals. I would drive up.
Wow!
This little 17, 18 year old kid driving a big truck full of produce, but. Corn is one of those things where, you know, it has a shelf life, but the quicker you have it in relation to when it's picked, the sweeter it is. And so once it's picked, the sugars begin to turn to starch. They start this process where they convert to starch. So the quicker it is from picked to the time you eat it is really the best. And so typically I would drive a truck from Thousand Oaks to Saugus, which is... now called Santa Clarita.
Oh,
like Saugus
rebranding
sounded,
the name.
The Saugus sounded a little too industrial,
a little soggy.
So they thought Santa Clarita sounded better. But I would get up early in the morning, like at 5. I drive a pickup from Thousand Oaks to Saugus, pick up the corn for the company, and then bring it back. And the corn would still be warm from being picked the afternoon before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so, you could sit there in the truck driving and eat it raw. It was just so sweet and so good. Well, GNS is now, and we're seeing this more in the Napa Valley, but they're actually doing night picking of the corn, which I had never heard of before. So with the GNS corn, if you come to the farmer's market on Tuesday morning or on Saturday morning, it was picked that early night. I mean, that's just incredible. The night or the night before,
can't
I guess.
Can't get much fresher than that.
It is incredible. And we, you know, it's the whole night picking thing in the Napa Valley has, about the last 10 years or so, we've seen more and more of that. It's interesting if you ever have a chance, the listeners, or if you're ever up, you know, 11 o'clock at night at harvest time, if you drive up Silverado Trail or down Highway 29, it's really interesting to see. You'll be, you know, it's pretty dark, and then all of a sudden in the distance, there'll be this incredibly bright patch out in the middle of the vineyard.
Yes, it's not aliens.
It's not, well.
Maybe. Well, it might be, but.
It might be. But it's.
extraterrestrials.
Yeah. It is so, it's relatively a newer thing, but, you know, the winemakers love it, for one, because the grapes come in. They're just picked. They're not hot. You know, they could sit there for a little while if their press is busy or if their crusher stemmer is occupied or broken down. The grapes are fine. And the folks in the fields picking like it because it's not so hot.
The grapes and the people are not as hot.
Right. Absolutely. So it's a much better kind of thing. Anyway, so they're doing night picking of that. So we'll find out what Malcolm's going to be doing. I believe we're going to try this, but I believe Annette Arceo is calling in right on time.
This is local radio, folks. We're building the ship as we sail it.
We're gonna try this. Kara Mae, you'll need your headphones to hear her. So
here we go.
Kara Mae is gonna put her headphones on. I am gonna take this call. Good morning. You're on KVON with Greg Cole. Is this Annette?
Hi, Greg. This is Annette.
Hi. Good. How are you?
Hi, Annette. Good morning. It's Kara Mae.
Hi, Kara Mae.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
You are our first caller of the day, and I never know how this is going to work, and it actually works. So this is a great sign.
Okay.
I did a little preview of you and your farm and some of the products that you have and that your family farms. It's a small family operation. I know it's you and your husband. You probably have some people that help in the field, but could you just tell us a little bit about, and first of all, is it Arceo? Arceo Ranch?
It's Arceo.
Arceo. See, I've been pronouncing it incorrectly. So Arceo, that's why they have an O on the end. And you're in Cortland on the Sacramento River, is that correct?
We are. We're just in the middle of the Delta, between Walnut Grove and Clarksburg. Well, let's see, between Walnut Grove and Hood, actually.
Oh, on the is it the Hyde? Is out there in the Ride Inn? Is that what it is?
That's the Ride Hotel on the other side of the river.
Okay.
So that's on the west side. We're on the east side of the river.
Oh, very nice. I'm from Stockton originally, so I've driven out on those roads. They are harrowing.
You know, when you grow up driving on those roads, the freeway is what is harrowing for me.
Yeah, I could see that. Different worlds.
Yeah.
So your family farms how many acres at RCA?
We have 80 acres, okay. And we are just a very small family operation. We do have a couple, you know, of employees that help us with, you know, the larger part of picking and some of the chopping and tractor driving and pruning, because we certainly couldn't do it all. But for that, what we do for the farmers market is 90% done by Robert and myself, and oftentimes grandkids come and help, and my daughters also.
Right, your daughter quite often is helping you at the market.
Right.
Someone has to cut the fruit samples, right? So that's
and you know, it is just so nice to have family, because they just have that sixth sense about what you need and when you need it. And so being mainly a family operation, I know that I could ask any member of the family to fill in for me and they would know exactly what to do. So, you know, it's hard, it's very time consuming. But at the end of the day, it's also very rewarding.
Right. We know you at the market as, I guess, in the beginning of the market, you have the most amazing cherries.
That's
and
right.
And so, yeah. I mean, in different varieties and just absolutely incredible. And then sometimes you take a little break, but it seemed like this year you weren't gone at all or not for long, and you were back with pluots and apples, and your pears are amazing. So on your farm, do you have an acre of apples or 2 acres, or how is it sort of, what is the focus or the primary crop that you grow there?
The primary crop is cherries. We have probably about 60 to 65 acres of cherries, and then the remaining 15 is in pears, you know, multi varieties of pears. We really only have, you know, maybe 5 or 6 pluot trees and 5 or 6 different apple trees. My husband loves anything new that has just come out. And so if there's a new variety out there, no matter what it is, he wants to plant it. So we literally have to scout around for a spot to plant a new tree.
And how long? How long does it take when you plant a new tree to have fruit produced?
You know, you'll get a tiny little crop the third year, not enough to bring to market, just enough to sample to know if you even want to keep that variety. And then by the fourth year, you have a nice little amount. And by the fifth year, you should be in almost full production. So it's quite an investment in the beginning, especially when you don't know if it's going to be something that will even be popular at the market.
Right. It's hard to know. Farming is hard work. I mean, we're exposed to it a little bit, obviously, in the Napa Valley, but it's with grape growers, and, you know, they have to decide, am I going to plant Merlot or Cabernet, or and what's going to do well in this site, but also what's going to be popular or in demand. And sometimes they're right and sometimes they're wrong. And you just take your chances and hope that you have enough rain and enough sun on top of that. So,
well, that's true. And the market, not necessarily the farmer's market, but the, you know, the large packing house market and what goes globally is a very fickle market. So just like with grapes, what is popular now may not be in 10 years, and you're left with something that you either have to graft over or replant.
Back to the cherries, how many varieties of cherries do you grow? Because it seems like you always had three or four that you could sample.
We have about 10 varieties. Not all of them produced this year. So, you know, it was just a really rough cherry year this year, and some of the fruit did not set. So I think I brought probably five to market this year. We had the beans and the Rainiers, very few Rainiers. We had a small crop of Coral Champagnes. And then, of course, the Black Pearl series, the Black Pearls, the Burgundy Pearls, and the Ebony Pearls, those were a relatively good crop, along with the Bentons and Lapins.
Okay.
Wow. And you've been gracious to let us taste some of your pears, which are happening right now. I tried some that I had never tried before. The one that was my favorite was the red. Is it Skylar? Is that the name of the pear?
We have a Red Star Crimson.
Star Crimson. Pear. There we go.
Yeah, it's a smooth, buttery pear. So we actually just finished up at the market with the Star Crimsons, and we will kind of come into the end time of the Bartlett's and the Haley's also now, because we're kind of shifting gears to head into our fall pears.
Okay, that's great.
And so that would be like the Comice pears?
Well, we're just starting with the Papples, which are they're a hybrid of a European pear and an Asian pear. So you get all the flavor of a European pear with all that juicy, crisp,
oh my gosh,
waterfall in your mouth crunch of an Asian pear. So it's a really nice combination.
That's
and then
great.
We'll also have those beautiful little Seckles, which are sweet as honey, and the Comice and Bosque. Those will be the last pears of the season.
Wow, pears are one of my favorite fruits, and this is my first year working for the market, so I haven't been exposed to all these delicious
wait
pies.
Wait till you try the Arceo Ranch pear, the Comice pears.
Yeah, we'll have
They're
to
amazing.
Add them on the schedule for fall pear tasting. That's what was really fun at the market is we had your different, the pears were all from Arceo Ranch, so we had the Star Crimson, and I can't remember the other varieties.
There's a French butter pear that she's had.
But it was really fun for folks to be able to taste the different textures side by side. And you said the Star Crimson was a buttery pear, and I definitely noticed that. And it was really fun to see what the differences were.
Now,
we gave you the Star Crimsons, the Sylvanas.
Yes.
The Moratinis, and they're all different, very subtle differences. I really have come to love the Sylvana just because it has a multi-dimensional taste to it. At the end, there's a nice tart finish, but the beginning is very sweet. So it's an interesting pair. And then we are also just heading in with our French butters, and those are just a delightful, intense pair.
And for our listeners, Kara May at the Education Station every week, every market has a food tasting. But at your booth, you also have samples for people to try. So you'll have, if you have three varieties of pears, you'll usually have them labeled and you'll have them lined up and people could try them and see what kind is their favorite before they make their big purchase of your pears. So that's really helpful because, you know, you just always know. Now, your family, how long have you, has your family been farming?
Well, both Robert and I came from farming families. Robert's father was managing a pear orchard for about 35 years. So Robert grew up from a very young age, and I do mean a young age, picking, pruning, irrigating, anything that needed to be done in a pear orchard, he did from about the age of six on. And then my father was an asparagus grower in the Delta. So both of us just kind of have it in our blood. And it wasn't until about 1998 that we were able to buy a farm of our own. So it was very nice to go from always working for someone else to being able to work for yourself and really see the fruits of your labor.
Right. And how many I know that you do our market, but how many farmers market a week do you do? Are you doing five a week or?
You know, I only focus on the Tuesday, Saturday market.
Hello?
Helena, hear me?
I'm sorry. Yeah, you were breaking up there.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So the Napa market, the Tuesday and Saturday, and then also the St. Helena?
Also St. Helena. I find that because we are small and we do all the work ourselves, I really, between family obligations and the work around here, I can't do more than that, you know, because it is just us.
Yeah.
So if one of... It's just too much for the other person.
Well, yeah. We appreciate you coming out to Napa because we are lucky. We are a lucky little town.
And plus you have grandkids you help take care of as well. So you're running a farm with your husband and helping with grandkids. So how many farmers market could you really do? We're going to have to clone you.
You know, we tried doing more. We were doing four a week, and even that was just too much. And when, you know, I want to be able to enjoy the markets as I do. I really love coming to Napa. I find the people are foodies, and they love a good piece of fruit.
Right.
And so it's very gratifying for me to be able to offer something that, you know, we're proud to give them.
Yeah, that's really great. Well, Annette, thank you so much for your time this morning and for our shoppers and for our listeners. You're there basically every Tuesday and Saturday.
That's
And you'll have the most amazing pears this time of the year. So I encourage everybody to come down and introduce themselves and say hi and buy some pears from you.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. It's definitely our pleasure to be there.
All right. Annette, thank you so much. We'll see you on Saturday.
See you Saturday.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That's Annette Arceo from Arceo Ranch in Cortland. And we're going to play a quick little bit of music here while we welcome our next guest, Mr. David Leyland from the UC Master Gardeners of Napa County, as well as a few other things. But here's a little Colin Hay for you while we change seats.
Did someone call my name like a distant drum is beating? Or is it just another dream of long ago? I dance again, I am spinning in the light I am living. And I can feel the power rushing through my veins. Once upon a time, I could do no wrong. For the candle flickers, the flame is never gone. To my brilliant feet, they all pay heed. I hear the crowds roar, oh, so loudly. Is it a game of chance or merely circumstances? A jack to a king.
Welcome back, KVON listeners. This is Greg Cole from the Napa Farmers Market, and that was a little bit of one of my favorite inner performers, Colin Hay, in a song he wrote in honor of George Best, who was the brilliant soccer player from years gone by, Manchester United striker, amazing player, and
quite a character as well.
Quite a character, and sadly, drank himself to death,
yes.
but one of the greatest soccer players of all time. And Colin Hay, who I love, he was the frontman for an Australian band called Men at Work, although he's originally from Scotland. And I hated Men at Work. They weren't my kind of band, but I love Colin
Hay.
What
was their hit song, Men at Work?
Man Down Under.
Oh, they yes, there we go.
About eating a Vegemite sandwich. But his solo career has been fantastic, and he has performed the Napa Valley a couple times. Right. And he's such an amazing guy to see live. He's a little unruly. So I was just told I need to play a couple quick commercials, and we're going to do that. And then we're going to come back, and we're going to have live in the studio David Leyland from the UC University of California Master Gardeners, as well as 17 other boards and things that he's on. But stay tuned. We'll be right back with David Leyland.
The voice of Napa Valley Sports and News.
Hello?
Hi, I'm calling about the two-bedroom apartment you advertised. Is it still available?
Sure.
Great.
Unless you're Black or Latino or disabled.
Housing discrimination is rarely this obvious, but it's just as real and just as illegal. So if you hear things like,
I can't assign you a handicapped parking space,
that could be housing discrimination. And the only way to stop it is to report it so we can investigate it.
Please call Fair Housing Napa Valley at 707-224-9720 or visit us at napafairhousing.org for more information.
Welcome back, KVON listeners. Greg Kolf and Kara May from the Napa Farmers Market. And we are joined live in the studio by our fearless leader, David Leyland, who's the president of the board of the Napa Farmers Market. But we're not talking about that today, are we, David?
It's nice to be on a different subject for a change.
I'd say you're wearing a different hat, but you're actually not wearing
it. I should have. I do have a Master Gardener hat. I should have put that on.
Yeah, one of the many hats that you wear. So you do an amazing job for our community with the work that you do at the Napa Farmers Market, but you also are involved in other projects, too, because there just isn't enough time in the course of a day, I guess, to keep you busy. So you are involved, and the UC Master Gardeners have a presence at our market. They're every
Tuesday they're at the market with their help desk.
Right.
Ready to answer all of your gardening questions.
Yeah. Yes.
And so the reason you're on today is to talk about the Master Gardener program and just sort of what is it, where are you, and how do you get involved, or if someone – I guess has a question, like they might, and they can come to the Tuesday market to ask.
Well, you can if you have a question, you can also send it in to the Master Gardeners, or they have somebody at their help desk every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings from 9 to noon.
Right.
So they're always available at those hours to answer questions.
And overseen by the University of California at Davis, or just the whole
University of California?
Okay.
It's part of the UCCE system.
Okay. And there's an office here in Napa.
Yes, they're over 1710 Soskal.
Okay. And so for people who wanted to, you know, if they are an avid gardener but would like to take their gardening to a higher level, I know that you have workshops that you offer and there's classes, but how do people get involved? I mean, there is a website, of course. If you put into Google Master Gardeners Napa Valley, it will come right up.
Well, there's one training class a year that goes on. It starts in January and goes through March. It takes about 88 hours of a person's time just in class, just being in class to complete it. And right now they've already chosen the class for 2019. I think, well, maybe not. Maybe the applications are due sometime in September. Then people will be chosen. But typically there's about 25 people in each class. And you go through a very rigorous training program. And it's not so much to learn all about gardening, but to learn how to get answers for gardening questions.
Okay.
There's a lot of reference works at your fingertips. And you just have to know if you have a question yourself or somebody asks a question, where do I find the answer?
Mm-hmm. Right. And so in the community, in the Napa Valley, I mean, I know several people who are master gardeners. And so there's a group of people who are interested in gardening who have decided to take their gardening to this next level, to this next step. And so how many people are in the community that have gone through this program who are, I guess, you become a certified master gardener?
Right. You have to recertify each year by completing 12 hours of continuing education and 25 hours of volunteer service.
Okay.
And there's about 150, 160 active master gardeners right now.
Wow, that's amazing. That's really incredible.
Started in 1995. That was the first class, and there's still one person from 95 that's still active.
Wow. And so what led you to it? Just your interest in gardening?
Yeah, I had taken a couple of their workshops previously, and when I retired, I was looking for something to do, and I knew a number of master gardeners, and so I joined up, and that was in 2013.
Okay.
And I met some of the greatest people through that and developed a lot of really good friendships, learned a lot, had a lot of really good experiences.
The workshops that they offer, and I'm looking at the website and I printed some things up, but there's this coming Saturday. There's we'll be busy at the market.
That's
so
right. Yeah.
So they should come by the market first.
Yeah, you can come by the market first. First thing, 8:30, and then 9:30 go to the meeting room at 1710 Saw School, and there's going to be a workshop on fall and winter vegetables. So the workshops are open to the public. You don't have to be a master gardener. There is a fee, $5 per person. Reservations preferred. Seating is limited. But for those listening, if you go to the website, there's great information on these workshops. Some are free. Some are paid. Although I don't think $5 is a huge sum of money to pay. It looks like most of the fees are $5 maybe. So and then in September, one on bulbs at the Mid-City Nursery in American Canyons that they could attend. It's a couple hours. So lots of things where people just want to kind of experiment a little bit with this. And
there are about 25 or so workshops that are offered each year.
Right.
Some of them are offered more than once. Some of them, they're in a series. We do a one on grape growing that's kind of the first 6 months of the year, which what you do in the vineyard, that's starts in held in February. Then another one, now this year will be in November, kind of on this. Now that you've had the harvest, what do you do?
Right. Is it like what to do in the vineyard?
Right.
The next steps. Now that the grapes are picked and hopefully making delicious wine. Right. And do you have a group of home winemakers who are part of the Master Gardeners program who might have little...
They're not home winemakers as much as they are home kind of grape growers.
Okay.
And we have a number of people that make their living growing grapes.
Right.
We have several winery owners that are involved. We have a number of vineyard managers.
Right.
And you've got people like myself who've got a small vineyard that you've kind of learned by trial and error, and
right.
Now
and
you're picking up some really good information.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's sort of a community of people who are involved in growing, and you could work off ideas together and sort of that technical part of it, and when to pull the leaves or when not to pull the leaves or when to fix the nitrogen or whatever it may be, all those different things. So for listeners who wanted to get involved, a good place to start, obviously, come by the market on Tuesday and perhaps introduce yourself or talk to the people at the help desk.
That's great. There's always someone there. And,
yeah, really friendly, helpful people.
That's right.
I always want to ask them how do I make my hydrangeas blue, but I just haven't worked up the nerve to do that yet. I know you got to put something in the soil, but I haven't figured that out yet. So maybe next Tuesday I could ask them that question.
They like to be challenged.
Yeah. And then the website is a good resource where people could go in and see. And so, like I said, there's a workshop coming up this Saturday. There's one in house plants in September. So there's lots of different there's a free garden talk at the St. Helena Public Library. So it's amazing sort of resource. Is there people from the UC? Are there employees?
There is one. There's one employee, Yvonne Rasmussen, who's the volunteer coordinator. And she's the only paid person in the program.
Okay.
It's all run pretty much by volunteers, by master gardeners.
Yeah. That sounds just fantastic. Try to think what else.
Since we know you're at the market a lot for multiple reasons, how does being a master gardener help, or does it enhance your market experience in any way?
Well, I know what it takes to grow vegetables. So, some years ago, I toyed with the idea of being a vendor at the market and selling some of the chilies that I was growing. And then when I kind of put pencil to paper, it's a lot of work. And you understand very quickly why maybe tomatoes cost $3.50 a pound.
Right.
It takes a lot of work to do those tomatoes.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Gives you perspective,
right? And you're not mass producing. You're almost you're babying them along.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The farmers now. Any of the farmers that we have? Do we have any master gardeners among our?
Oh yeah, Laddie Hall.
Okay.
In Long Meadow Ranch.
Okay.
She's been a master gardener for quite a few years, okay. And she sure knows a lot about growing vegetables.
Right, right. Yeah, that is just fantastic. And I just when you're at the market and you get to talk to the growers, and it's just, to me, that's one of the best parts of the markets. Is like, you know, you listen to them, and you know, at Big Ranch, I'll be talking to them, and you could ask them, even the growers, like, you know, well, I'm having problems with my tomatoes, and a couple of years ago, I had a horrible tomato crop, and I told Mark about it, and he said that I wasn't alone, that he was having a horrible tomato crop too. So I figured if Big Ranch Farms is having a bad year, then probably it's not just me. It's not just my growing technique. So, and so the next for the master gardener, they could visit us at the market on Tuesday. They could go to the website. There's no membership dues. Or if you wanted to do the Master Gardener program, if you wanted to go through the workshops and become a certified Master Gardener, there's obviously got to be a fee for that.
Yeah, there is a fee that really just covers the cost of all the books you're going to receive.
Okay.
And it's right. I want to say it's $250, $300 right now.
Okay.
But you get a lot of information from that, the money that you're spending.
Right. And what you see, is there one you see that oversees it, or is it just part of a?
Well, there is a statewide Master Gardener program that's in Davis.
Okay,
and they oversee the entire state.
All right,
I think every county in California has a Master Gardener program. Although some counties they kind of share a program. They don't have a large enough population.
Right. Yeah, Glenn County might not have a huge.
That could be
a huge Master Gardener program. Lester, well, now that cannabis is almost legal, who knows? Maybe that's becoming a larger group. might change. But they might share a Master Gardener program with Colusa County or something like that, if there's any of that left after our most recent round of fires. So the workshop that you do to become a certified Master Gardener, is there a group of teachers who teach it? Is it volunteers, or is there actually someone from the UC Extension that comes and teaches that course?
We bring people in from all over.
Okay.
We bring professors in from Davis that will conduct different parts of it. Everybody that does participate in the teaching of the program is an expert in their field.
Okay.
And not high level, but it gets you past really what the standard home gardener is going to be exposed to.
And after you became involved, has your crop, what you plant, changed? Did you realize that, you know, your little microclimate where your property is better suited to something else based on things that you learned at this program? Or,
well, I've certainly learned a lot, and especially about, you know, how the spacing of your vegetable plants, so you're not too close together, too far apart. What should be planted with what? Knowing about rotating crops is extremely important.
Okay.
I used to think that I was doing proper crop rotation because I would plant chilies one year and eggplant the next and tomatoes the next and in the same spot, and I found out, well, they're all part of the same plant family.
Okay.
So you're not really rotating. You're still just putting one the same type of plant in the same area.
Okay.
So now I know how to, you know, rotate my crops better.
Right. And is there a focus on organic growing, or is it just everything? Just
most all master gardeners follow organic growing principles, okay. But the UCCE system doesn't just strictly focus on organic.
Okay.
And I think pest management is another test.
Pest management is very big. Yeah, that's a good point.
And what do you use for pest management?
I don't use anything.
You don't use anything.
I haven't had a situation where I've had to, I'm willing to share the crop if I have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if something comes in, like this morning I harvested a tomato with a big chunk out of it that some friendly rat had probably gnawed on last night.
But you could just trim that off, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
But I don't get worried if I see a tomato hornworm in the garden. You just pluck it off. Chickens love them.
Yeah, they scare me though. It just seems like with tomato hornworms, I'll be out and I'll where I grow my tomatoes, it's kind of a cramped area, and so I'll be there and I'll turn around, and they just always seem to be staring me right in the eye.
Yeah,
and they're scary looking.
Are they?
Yeah,
they are.
Big.
Seen one.
Yeah,
big.
They're big and they're mean looking. They don't they eat quite a bit, but they're they have a big horn that comes out of the front of his head like a unicorn, but it's a
unicorn worm.
It's a unicorn, but it's not so friendly. So, and then I guess the what am I trying to say?
I don't know.
The next step for people who wanted to go in. They're going to go to your website. They're going to meet the gardeners at the Tuesday market, and then they're going to also visit the website. And I would recommend to probably taking one or two sort of the casual workshops to get an idea of something that they could do.
And it's a great way. Going to a workshop is a great way to get introduced. In fact, a number of the current master gardeners, like myself, did start out going to workshops.
Right.
And I think they liked what they learned there. They liked the people that they encountered there.
Yeah.
So now they've they've taken the plunge.
They went all in to become a master gardener.
Seems now, just like another great example of community here in
it is, yeah. I mean, I've met so many wonderful people through Master Gardeners, and I told my wife after I could finish the program that I now knew more women in Napa than she does. It is about 75% women.
Okay. Yeah. So. Well, they're better. Women are more in touch with the earth, I think, than us guys. So, do you teach any courses, or do you help with workshops?
I've taught a lot of the workshops over the years, both in the vineyard workshops and vegetable workshops. I'm not big on flowers. I've never gotten into that. Right after I became a master gardener, somebody asked me a question about an azalea, and I said, I don't even know what an azalea looks like.
Right.
So I'm not very good there.
Yeah.
At least you're honest.
Yeah. But that's why we know where to look in a book to find the answer, to look on the internet.
Yeah, knowing where to find the knowledge and is very helpful. I mean, obviously that's a big part of it, of education and learning is... You're not ever going to know everything, but if you know the right place to look,
right?
That's
how. Or who to ask,
right? So for our listeners, if they wanted to get more information, put into the Google the web address is.
It's kind of complicated.
I can't remember. So, but it's.
Well, you can just Google Master Gardener Napa Master Gardeners.
And right, it'll come right up. And this is the UC extension of the Master Gardeners of Napa County. Our guest in the studio today, David Leyland, and lots of information on the website. But again, I encourage you to come to the market on Tuesdays and ask the ladies questions like, how do I join, or what's That's give right. me some more information.
Because, or on Saturdays, you can find Dave himself.
It's
right. Yeah.
Charlotte, our market manager, went through the program also.
Oh, did she? Okay. All right. So we've got a couple master gardeners on staff.
Awesome.
Yeah. Fantastic. David, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it. I know that you're a busy guy. We're going to play a quick commercial. Kara May and I are going to chat a little bit, and we're going to hope that our celebrity chef, Malcolm DeSess, checked his email this morning, and he calls in at the appointed time. So we will see. I know how
Hang
busy.
On tight. You never know.
I know how busy chefs are. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
At Napa Valley College, we are more than classrooms and laboratories.
We are community.
We are vineyards and winemaking.
We are theater, music, art, and dance.
We are photography and ceramics.
We are small business development.
We are welding and industrial technology.
We are athletics.
We are community.
Late start credit and community education classes are available now through November.
Review these classes and much more at napavalley.edu.
That's napavalley.edu.
Safeway Open, presented by Chevron, returns to Napa at the Silverado Resort and Spa October 3rd through the 7th. World Golf Hall of Famer Phil Mickelson and two-time defending champion Brendan Steele headline the field at the PGA Tour's season opener. When the golf ends, the music begins. The Safeway Open Concert Series kicks off on Thursday night with Sammy Hagar. Friday night features Young the Giant, and Saturday night, don't miss Billy Idol live from the Chevron stage. Daily tickets start at just $30 and include access to golf and concerts. New this year, 100% of ticket sales support fire relief right here in the Napa Valley. For tickets and information, visit SafewayOpen.com.
The Lone Ranger. I love that.
Welcome back, KVON listeners. Greg Cole from the Napa Farmers Market and Kara May. And
good morning, everyone.
I was supposed to ask David about dehydrating and drying, and I forgot all about that.
That's
so
right. Our theme is prepping for fall, and clearly we're still in summer vacation mode.
I do have it on my program of questions to ask David, but I guess I have to look at my program. So my co-host, or the fearless leader, Tia Butts, sent us a message. Tia, sorry.
Sorry, Tia.
But we figured out...
We can't do this without you. we can't stay on message.
We can't, but we did figure out that you could ask David at the market on Saturday. He'll be running around, dragging hoses around, and collecting stall fees or doing whatever he's doing.
Yeah, you can stop by the information booth and ask for Dave. Yeah. Say you have a question about gardening.
About freezing and dehydrating.
That's right. And if not, Tuesdays, again, the UC Master Gardeners are always there on Tuesdays, and they would be more than happy to answer your questions about dehydrating and freezing and anything else you can do to prepare for fall.
And they are just amazing. I mean, they're nicest. Typically, I think there are always a couple ladies that are there working and just there to offer advice. And if you have a question or if you had something in your garden that's not looking right, you could always maybe cut off a little sample of the leaf and bring it to them and put it in a little Ziploc bag so you don't spread any icky plant germs around, and they'll perhaps be able to figure out what it is. So we are going to see if our friend Malcolm is on the phone right here. So stay tuned, and perhaps celebrity chef, owner, operator of Silverado Cooking School will be with us live. So, good morning. You're on the air with Greg Cole. Is this Malcolm?
It is, yes.
Malcolm, how are you, sir?
Yay, we got you.
Good morning.
You know, we're doing two for two for phone calls, so we're very excited.
Awesome.
100% record so far.
Awesome.
You are the owner and operator of Silverado Cooking School, which is located on Silverado Trail at 1552 Silverado Trail.
That's correct.
You offer one-day classes. You offer courses that are 4, 5, 6-week courses. You customize classes for groups. You kind of do everything.
We do, and I would say a little more than half of our events are corporate team-building events.
Right.
And then we do a lot of friends and family private events, and then, yes, a lot of different kind of one-off cooking classes, farmers market classes, classes from our farm, regionally specific cuisine, method and technique, kind of you name it, we do it.
That's right. So are those your students that we see at the market sometimes?
Yeah, so when we lead farmers market classes, if you see a chef there, not in a chef's jacket, but in a polo with our logo, and then blue shopping bags with the Silverado Cooking School logo on them, that's us wandering the market to gather ingredients.
Yeah, and that's really the way to make the most of the market, is by going with your instructors and learning about what's new, what's fresh, and how you can best use it in the kitchen.
I think it's pretty cool because, you get to meet the vendors, get to talk to them about maybe what's coming in the season, what's new, talk to them about what they're growing that, nobody in the class has ever seen before. You get to pick out the produce you're going to cook with and then bring it back to the kitchen, prepare a 3-course meal, and eat that throughout the time back at the school.
Oh, wow. That's an...
And do you walk down to the market, or do you... You used to when it was at Copia, but you drive down now.
We do, yeah. So we meet...
It's a little bit too far. Sorry we moved it farther away from you. That wasn't very considerate of us.
That's okay. The space is great for parking. There's always a little bit tense at the auction.
Yeah,
so we appreciate the extra space.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And so now do you run those courses, or you have another chef who works with you?
So we have two other main chefs that do the classes. I do about a third, and they do the other two-thirds. And I spend the rest of the time running the business and also up on our farm that supplies all the produce to the school.
Right.
So we have Francis Wilson, who is actually my chef in culinary school down in San Francisco. And then we have the other Malcolm here in Napa, who's a chef, Malcolm Jessup, and he teaches many classes here.
So there's two Chef Malcolms in the Napa Valley, and they both reside under the same roof.
Wow.
He does. He does also a lot of catering. He's a wonderful chef. He does catering on his own time, but yeah, he teaches classes here. And it's funny, we've had students that come back to another class and they enroll in a class and they show up and I say, "Hey, I'm Malcolm. I'm going to be your chef tonight." And somebody will be like, "No, you're not.
You're not the Malcolm I know."
Can't pull a fast one on me.
Yeah.
So this Saturday we're going to have you as our chef demonstration. Is that right?
I will be there.
Awesome.
Perfect. There, yeah. And do you know what you're making yet?
Yes, I'm going to do a watermelon gazpacho.
Awesome. Oh, good.
So I was walking around the farm, and Ricardo, who's our farm manager, I did all the growing myself for the first About a year or two, we had the farm, but then it really outgrew the amount of time that I could put into it. So I was walking around with him the other day, and our watermelons are just coming into season, and some of our little guys are, like, perfect.
Right.
So I decided instead of doing kind of a classic, you know, summer tomato gazpacho, we'll do a watermelon gazpacho and have some really great ingredients from the farm.
Great. That is perfect.
I love it.
Now, is your farm is called Stone Tree Farm.
Stone Tree Farm.
And is now you over the I mean the years past you have been a vendor at the market, but are you going to be at the market this year or are you not?
Yes,
you
so
are.
We
okay.
actually we're just talking to Charlotte, and we are going to do the market hopefully starting the end of this month.
Right.
We just finished up our application, and then we're doing our certified producer stuff, and then our scale needs to get certified. It's just been kind of a very slow growing season.
Okay.
And you know, we also sell to restaurants and we supply the cooking school. So for
right.
a while, we just wouldn't have enough of
product.
The good stuff to
right.
bring to the market.
Yeah.
And now that we have a lot of amazing produce, we definitely want to be
there. And that's one of the beauties of our market is, you know, since it the length of the market goes, it goes the whole growing season from, you know, from March until November and perhaps beyond, who knows. But, you know, we'll get some people early who all they have is cherries or asparagus. And so they're there in March and April, and then they're gone. And then people who have maybe only peaches show up or only have corn. And so, you know, you could continue to come to our market throughout the course of the year. And it's not always the same products or the same vendors, of course, because it sort of follows the cycle of produce in the local area. So, you know, it's always interesting. There's always new people there.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, kind of summer is really starting to hit it off on our farm when we have our tomatoes, our peaches, a lot of our stone fruit are coming in, and then those things kind of start to wane, and I think that's what's amazing about having kind of peak of season produce at those times, and then being at the market, you can complement things that you don't grow, and then also you're not in the correct climate to grow either, and so you just have awesome stuff, as you said, that comes in and out.
Right, right. So for the listeners who are interested in a class, you've got a great website. You have a really good calendar that talks about, you know, the available classes. But it's SilveradoCookingSchool.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, like I said, there's a monthly calendar that you have different workshops, different courses. You have like a regional course where you explore different regions of, say, Italy or that those sorts of things. Now, the farmers market class, are they primarily visitors to the Valley? Are they locals? What is the makeup of the group that will come in on a Tuesday and do that course with you?
It really widely varies. So we have some classes where it's all people from out of the area, where they're coming in from all around the country or even from, you know, outside the country. And then we also have times where we have, you know, kind of larger groups that join the class together, and it may be one person that lives here and their, you know, cousins or aunts and uncles live down in San Francisco and they came up to Napa to hang out for the weekend, and then it may be all pretty much locals from either Napa or the Bay Area.
Okay.
So it just depends on the class.
So is the farmers market class just a one-day deal? How does that work in terms of scheduling?
It is. So it's a four-hour class, and you meet at the market at 10 o'clock and then kind of quickly do a little overview of the market and what you're going to do for the class, and then walk around, pick the produce, and then bring the produce back to the school and spend about 3 hours cooking and eating. So.
Oh, wow.
That sounds great.
That sounds like a fun excursion.
That sounds like more fun.
Yeah.
It's nice, too, I think, you know, people who come to the Napa Valley, of course, you know, primarily they come for wine, but it's great to have things that aren't just about wine tasting. And so that you could come in and do a little cooking class and, you know, spend the morning with you and have lunch there. And then if you wanted to go in the afternoon and visit a winery or two or go for a hike or whatever, you could do that still.
Yeah, and I think because we have the same amazing ingredients that a lot of the best restaurants in the Valley have, but you actually get to have your hands on them, you get to experience what they are, ask questions, cook with them, or maybe if you were just to eat a dish somewhere and see, you know, an ingredient on the menu, you wouldn't necessarily, you know, kind of branch out and actually cook with it. Where here we have amazing produce, amazing equipment, and a great kitchen, and you can actually get your hands on the food and cook some awesome dishes.
And leave with the best gift of all, which is knowledge.
Yeah.
Right. That's true. That is true. Now, your background, are you a native from California?
I am not. I'm originally from Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay. You went to culinary school in New York.
San Francisco.
In San Francisco, that's right. Tom Murray Cooking School in San Francisco. I had that right in front of me. I don't know why I said I went to culinary school in New York. But I'm a native of California, so
we just
sort of went the opposite directions.
Yeah.
My goal was to get as far away from my parents as possible, so that's why I went to school in New York. I don't know if that was your goal, but that worked for me.
You know, I went to college in New Jersey, and that drove me to the West Coast.
Okay.
Well, it is the best coast, so
now,
welcome
in,
home.
In years past, you were a triathlete. Do you still do that?
I try to do one or two a year.
Yeah.
But the time commitment it's a lot.
You're running a cooking school, you're running a farm, you don't have time for a couple triathlons?
The shorter ones, yes. The longer ones, no.
Yeah, you're really slacking off.
Yeah.
I know, but I found that because that was also kind of like a go sport,
yeah.
Which is kind of what a kitchen is and what cooking is.
Right.
Obviously, we have definitely a more lackadaisical pace than a restaurant kitchen, but I actually have shifted to spending some time on the golf course around here to kind of mellow out and kind of slow my brain down. So
okay.
I try to do that, you know, at least every once in a while to kind of do something slower paced.
Yeah, that's good. I've never golfed. People say I look just like Phil Mickelson. I get that all the time. But I did my externship on Hilton Head in South Carolina, and I was going to pick up golf, and I tried it a couple times. I just didn't have the patience or the time to do that. So.
Well, since our theme is back to fall, and you know, a great way is school starting. So, what's another class that you recommend people checking out from Silverado Cooking School?
Oh wow! Well, I would say that kind of coinciding with the farmers market season, we do farm classes where you actually meet up at the farm, and we give you a tour of the farm, and then you get to help harvest some of the produce, and then you get to bring it back.
Wow!
We only do that kind of when things are really growing exceptionally well and quickly. We supply produce all year round, but you know the peak season here, kind of through Halloween, is when we do those classes.
Okay. And is that on Stone Tree Farm? Where you
that is on Stone Tree Farm. Yeah, which is just in Coombsville. If you go out of downtown on 3rd and you head east and you go up Coombsville Road, it's about 2 miles up that way. So
very cool.
I didn't even
know that existed. You guys are killing it with the farm to table stuff.
I know, no kidding. Farm to table to classroom, mm-hmm. and all on the east side of Silverado Trail. So that's pretty amazing. You get all that packed in there.
Yep.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Well, Malcolm, thank you so much. We're looking forward to having you at the Farmer's Market on Saturday and trying some watermelon gazpacho.
Yeah, the chef demo at 10 a.m.
10 a.m.
at the chef stage. So make sure you come, and I can't wait to taste your watermelon gazpacho. Two of my favorite things, watermelon and gazpacho.
Awesome.
All right, Malcolm,
thank
you for your time. I'll be in touch with you before Saturday, but we will look forward to seeing you, and our listeners could join us at 10 o'clock at the cooking area and get to meet you and a little more insight from you. And I've always found that, you know, culinary educators or chef instructors are obviously the best ones to do these demos because they're comfortable talking about stuff and you know, engaging with the group watching. And so we're looking forward to having you there.
We'll have some fun. Thank you.
All right, Malcolm, thank you. Thank you so much. All right, so that's the deal for Saturday. Now we know. It's always good for me to know what the chef's making because
right.
Now I know what dishes to bring.
Yeah,
so I will.
Another quick reminder: in addition to chef's demo at 10 a.m., we have story time as always, 9:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. every Tuesday, Saturday, and this Saturday at 11 a.m. we're going to be tasting walnuts. So it's the first time we're tasting a nut.
Great.
As our produce.
Good,
so
good.
Hopefully we'll see you at the education station Saturday all day. We've got lots of stuff going on between 8:30 a.m. and 1 p.m.
Perfect. So we look forward to seeing everybody at the market on Saturday. We'll have live music. We have on the KVYN music stage this coming Saturday, we're going to have David Neft, who is a wonderful piano player. And then next Tuesday, on the 21st, it's going to be The Season of Us. And so that music stage is sponsored by our friends at KVYN. We thank them for that. And again, the Farmer's Fresh Hour, brought to you by American Ag Credit, Money for Agricultural. Next Thursday will be the St. Helena edition. And then we'll be back here in 2 weeks for our show for the Napa Farmers Market
That's
edition.
Right.
So thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you at the market, and we'll see you on the radio. So thanks
Bye guys.
For,
Have
thanks
a great
for coming.
Day.
Bye-bye.
Calling all health-conscious foodies. The Meritage Resort is hosting its very first vegan wine dinner on August 30th with meals curated by acclaimed cookbook author Chloe Coscarelli. Savor delicious vegan dishes, all paired with world-class Napa Valley wines, as you enjoy a fabulous evening in the underground estate cave of the Meritage Resort. Vegans or carnivores won't want to miss this on August 30th. For tickets and more information, visit MeritageResort.com for reservations and information.